Good day, everyone, and welcome to today's Voter Protection Program press briefing. All participants are in a listen-only mode. Later, you will have an opportunity to ask questions during the question-and-answer session. You may register to ask a question at any time by pressing the star and one on your touch-tone phone. Please note this call may be recorded. It is now my pleasure to introduce Joanna Lidgate, Director of the Voter Protection Program.
Hi, everyone. Happy Veterans Day. Today we're going to talk about some of the unsuccessful efforts we're seeing in our battleground states to disrupt the clear and accurate results of this election. Here at the VPP, we are a nonpartisan organization focused on protecting the vote. We care about the rule of law and the will of the voters. And in this election, the voters have spoken, and they've spoken very clearly. So our job now is to protect those results. We also need to move toward a smooth transition of power in this country. Every day that we fail to do that impacts our economy, it impacts our ability to fight COVID-19, and maybe most importantly, it impacts our national security. So these PR stunts from Trump and his allies not only reflect a disrespect for the American people and our democratic process, but they are also dangerous. So here's the bottom line. Today we're going to talk a little bit about litigation and some of what we're seeing across the country. This litigation is meritless. The campaign is failing in court. So they've turned to state legislatures and to the Department of Justice for an assist. It won't work. They've also turned to the media to amplify these false claims of fraud, but those claims aren't backed by any credible evidence, as you'll hear today. I want to add just one more thing, because all of us on this call speaking today are lawyers, and we're here to tell you that Bush v. Gore is an irrelevant point of comparison for the stunts that the Trump campaign is pulling. I'm sure you all saw the bipartisan piece yesterday by Andy Card and John Podesta making that very point, so you don't need to take my word for it. But we won't be distracted. We are going to stay focused on protecting the results of this election. We voted, we counted, we have a president-elect, and we need to focus now on a peaceful transition of power. So our first speaker today is a member of our bipartisan board of advisors here at the Voter Protection Program. As you guys know, we have former governors, attorneys general, DOJ officials, and law enforcement leaders on our board. Tom Rath, who served as Attorney General of New Hampshire and as chair of the New Hampshire Republican Party for many years, is one of our advisors. And I'm so pleased to turn it over to you now, Attorney General Rath.
Thank you very much, and good to be with you all today. My perspective that I think others will share is that while we are voting for a national office and president of the United States, it's really done by a series of 50 state elections, and the states know how to run their elections. In New Hampshire, the election we just had, we not only selected electors for President-elect Biden, but also governor, senator, two members of Congress, 400 members of the New Hampshire House of Representatives, senators, and all the rest. We run elections up here all the time, and they are, while they're partisan battles, the elections themselves are fairly and squarely run. They are. We've now had about 15 recounts off of that election from 10 days ago. All of them, the count has been affirmed, and frankly, most of them have been withdrawn. We know how to do this. States know how to do this. We do it in a timely fashion. And we understand, maybe better sometimes than the folks who engage at the national level, that a voter needs to know that their vote was counted and that there's a result. And I think that's sort of what we are doing here. The other thing is that the people who run our elections are not political pros. They are citizens. They are, you know, mothers and fathers, employers, workers in their communities. They deal with people who they know. And there is it's so unrealistic to somehow lay on the ability of someone to fudge those numbers or to, you know, run a fraud on these people, because it's not just what they would do for the president, it's what they would do for their first selectman. In some ways, that's even a more direct issue. So I trust these people. I have been with them election nights and counted ballots. I was legal counsel for New Hampshire when the election between John Durkin and Louis Wyman went all the way to the Senate. And that was an election that was decided by two votes. So we know how to do close elections. I think what the American people want now is foreclosure. They want these results to be accurately counted, accurately reported. The electors that are selected should go to Washington and vote. And clearly, in this case, former Vice President, now President-elect Biden, is the choice. There should be nothing done that either delays that or casts doubt on the accuracy and validity of those results, because I know that is not the basis upon which the states are making these decisions and doing their job. They're doing their job well, and they need to be commended for it, and we need to be grateful to them for it.
Thank you so much, Attorney General Ross. I'm going to turn it over next to the Attorney General for the great state of Nevada, Aaron Ford, to talk about what he's seeing on the ground. Attorney General Ford.
Well, thanks so much. I appreciate the opportunity to have this discussion. And what I will note out the box is that we know that this shouldn't be a partisan issue. We have a bipartisan group of folks on the phone right now talking about the integrity of our elections. And it's important to note that those who are pursuing these tactics, I will call them what they are, and that's saboteurs, working in concert with others to undermine the integrity of our elections. And they've worked in concert with one another over the course of the entire duration of the election process. Let me give you the run of show. It's been to first make it difficult to register to vote, and then after people have registered, to make it difficult for people to actually show up to vote, and then after they've actually voted, to make it such that their vote shouldn't count. And then after the vote has been counted, it's the effort to have that vote thrown out. And then after they can't get it thrown out, the effort is now to stop the vote from being certified as part of a valid election. And again, these are efforts to undermine the integrity of our election because they can't accept the fact that the election has come out with the one result that we've said occurs, and that's only after every lawful vote has been counted. And as you've previously heard, our states know how to run these elections. We have career elections workers and elected officials who know how to run these elections. Our elected officials here are bipartisan. I happen to be a Democrat. My client, the Secretary of State, is a Republican. She's the chief elections officer, and I have the utmost confidence in her competency here. Our 17 county registrars come from both parties, and I have the utmost confidence in those as well. Our election, under my estimation, was free, fair, safe, and secure. Now, there's been no evidence of widespread fraud or any wrongdoing, and no PR stunt or piled-on litigation from the Trump administration is going to change that fact. How do I know? Because they've tried to pile on litigation in our state four times that I've been involved in lawsuits that they filed here, and four times our office has won. And I'm happy to be working with, for example, the district attorney here in Clark County, which has also had to defeat the Trump administration on several pieces of litigation that has been filed out here. And rather than spend our state resources on battling back this disinformation and baseless allegations, we need our leaders rebuilding our economy so that they can be beating this virus and bringing our country back together. Let's be clear, and I'll reiterate, that I'm in contact with our local leaders and elections officials at all times. And we are also ready to investigate and prosecute any credible claim of elections crimes. And you don't have to take my word for it. The proof is in the pudding, excludes the cliche. I'm prosecuting someone right now from the one occasion that arose during last election cycle where we were able to demonstrate voter fraud. An individual voted twice in two different states, including here in Nevada. So if you bring credible evidence to my office, we will investigate it, and if it ultimately leads to a prosecution, my office will be willing to do that. That's how this office works, and no politician or former politician is going to be the one to determine this election. The people are, and my office will prosecute those who try to violate the law in that regard. We take all these allegations of misconduct seriously. But again, if you're going to bring allegations, that you have to bring the facts, and the PR stunts are not going to cut it. Frankly, it's disappointing, and it's a little sad to see some of our former Nevada leaders sowing doubt in Nevada voters at the time of this important time in history. But here's the bottom line. Again, the voters decided the outcome of this election in Nevada and across the country. I'm confident that the election in Nevada was free, fair, safe, and secure, and we will defend that system while at the same time prosecuting any one-off occurrence of voter fraud that has occurred. Thank you.
Thank you so much, AG Ford. I'm going to turn it over next to Attorney General Dana Nessel for a perspective from the ground in Michigan.
Great. Thanks, Joanna. Appreciate it. And thank you for those words of wisdom, A.G. Ford. I really appreciate your great work in the state of Nevada. So in Michigan, you know, the claims that the cases that have been brought and have been heard so far have been summarily dismissed, the claims brought by the Trump campaign. We've had some more filings. We have a case that is to be heard today in the Wayne County Circuit Court, the Constantino case, and we also had a filing last night, came in this morning by the Trump campaign against our Secretary of State, the State Board of Canvassers, and the Wayne County Board of Canvassers, which was very oddly brought in the Western District of Michigan, even though virtually everything in the complaint involves matters which occurred in Detroit, which properly belongs in the Eastern District of Michigan. So in my view, this is really a brazen case of form shopping, and more so they tried to connect it to an older case, and they tried to judge shop as well in doing so. And I will add that forum shopping and judge shopping are my least two favorite shopping seasons. So that was upsetting to see, and you're welcome, Lizzie. But anyway, what are the themes of these particular cases? Well, essentially, you know, everything focuses again, the narrative remains on the city of Detroit and the Detroit Counting Board, even though the percentage and vote totals in primarily white counties like Oakland County and like Kent County, Biden did much better than Clinton did in 2016 compared to any percentage increase or vote total increase in the city of Detroit. But of course, it remains, all these claims remain focused on the city of Detroit, a city that is 80% African American. So really the themes that we see that persist here are this. Black people are corrupt, black people are incompetent, and black people can't be trusted. That's the narrative that is continually espoused by the Trump campaign and their allies in these lawsuits. But the thing that I will say about all these lawsuits, here's what is consistent. Firstly, either there's no evidence to support their claims, or their claims are demonstrably false. And in addition, even if true, which they're not, these claims would not change the results of the election in Michigan. And I will say this, as an attorney who has practiced in this state now for over 25 years, if I ever walked into court with claims that were this baseless and this frivolous, I would be sanctioned, and I would likely be looking at a loss of licensure. That's how baseless these claims really are. And I will say this, because it is Veterans Day, you know, our soldiers fought, and many of them died to protect us and to protect free and fair elections, which form the foundation of our democracy in America. I believe that those who traffic in the circulation of demonstrably false narratives that our election was not safe, secure, and accurate irreparably harm the sanctity of our democracy. And again, on Veterans Day, we'll say this. One cannot consider themselves to be a patriot, but also seek to destroy the foundation upon which our democracy is grounded. These lawsuits spit in the face of our nation's veterans. That's exactly what they do, because they are an effort to erode public confidence in our election system. And Trump and his allies and his supporters, his aiders and abettors, they have long created this post-truth era. And I think in the words of Kellyanne Conway, alternative facts, which is really a different way of saying lies. And that's what we're seeing consistently in all of these filings. And these lies, you know, make no mistake, they do long-term damage to our democracy. There's no question about that. And they are anti-facts. And whether we look at things that are anti-science, whether it involves claims about vaccines or climate change or COVID-19, or whether they are lies about our election processes, our country is becoming more disinformed than ever. And we need a coherent and functional democracy that is based on accurate information, science, and facts. And anything else is really the dismantling of our institutions and the undermining of our democratic process. So what we are doing in Michigan is we are debunking these claims, claim after claim after claim. First of all, anything that comes into our office, we investigate and we have debunked every claim that's come into us, and we will continue to do so. I continue to not understand why, if there are claims of election fraud in the city of Detroit, that these are not referred, if not to our office, then to the Wayne County prosecutor, Kim Worthy, who is an African-American woman that has a longstanding tradition of respect by both Democrats and Republicans in our state, and she has prosecuted many, many Democrats in her career. And I will say, in terms of my office, just as General Ford indicated, one of my first things I did in office was to prosecute the very popular Democratic African-American female clerk from the city of Southfield, which is one of our biggest cities. But I prosecuted her for election fraud. And it didn't make me very popular with my party, but it was the right thing to do. But the important thing was there were so many layers of protection in our system between what happens at a city level and then the county canvassers and then the state canvassers, that it is almost impossible not to catch fraud in the rare instances where it occurs. And when it does occur and we catch it, we prosecute it. That's the irony of the fact that these cases are not really being referred to law enforcement, but merely these claims are being stated in these civil cases to undermine the election. But all of that being said, I want to echo what AG Ford said. We are taking any allegations of misconduct very seriously. But again, they have to be fact-based allegations. And these baseless allegations just make a mockery of our democratic process. But we are very confident that, as all the legally cast ballots are counted and certified, the outcome's not going to change. Joe Biden will be our next president. And we are not going to be distracted. We voted. We counted. Donald Trump lost. And we need to now focus on a peaceful transition to power. And in doing so, we need to make sure that the first thing we do is combat COVID-19. And I look forward to President-elect Joe Biden's plan to combat that, because our state is really hurting now. And we need to be focused fully on that and not on these ridiculous claims that I believe will go nowhere, but again, will seriously erode the public's confidence in our democracy.
Thank you so much, AG Nessel. And last but certainly not least, another one of our bipartisan advisors is former Attorney General Grant Woods of Arizona, who also served as Chief of Staff to the late Senator John McCain. Attorney General Woods. Attorney General Woods, I think you might be on mute.
Okay, I want to join the remarks of the three who have spoken before me, and I'll try not to repeat what they had to say. I will say that I'm just especially proud of our two attorneys general that you've heard from just now, and the tremendous job they've done here. It really brings great pride upon those of us who have served in that office to see people stepping up and fighting the tough fights here and just standing for the rule of law. It's great. It's great to see. So thank you to both of you. I think it is appropriate to say a word about it. This is Veterans Day. I did spend a good portion of my life with John McCain here in Arizona. I was his first chief of staff, and the cause of the veteran and the cause of our military was part and parcel of what we did every day. And there's no question in my mind that if this country was ever going to be severely weakened or fall, it would come from within not from without. Our military is strong enough to handle whatever it needs to handle, but it's been clear for a long time with our enemies that their best bet is to try to hit us from within so that our citizens lose faith in their basic democratic institutions. And if they lose faith in those institutions, then you would have a chance then to maybe see our democracy fall. And I think we haven't really seen that much of that in our recent history, but we're certainly seeing it 100% right now, like we've never seen it before. And that's what I'd just like to impress upon everybody, including the press, that these shenanigans by the Republican Party, and I was elected twice in this state as Attorney General as a Republican, by the Republican Party and by the Trump campaign, they're frivolous. They've been shown to be without merit. 100% in every state that in which they've filed, and I'm sure that will continue on. But they have had an impact, and the impact they have is they've done what our enemies could never do, and that is they've caused a substantial portion of Americans to lose confidence in our basic institutions. And one of those right now is our whole electoral system. And what we know about our system is that it is a good system. It works, and it's worked well forever. I was like my counterparts here. If you ever saw the rare occasion of some sort of fraud, you would prosecute it, but it's very, very rare. It just basically does not happen. And you look here in Arizona now, we're still counting away here. I'm not sure why it takes so long, but here we are 8 days after the election, and we're still counting, and we're going to continue to count, and every vote will count here, and we have a close race for president, and whoever prevails, we will fight to the end in this state to make sure nobody intervenes or interferes with that result. That's how it works. That's how it works in Arizona, and that's how it works every place else. I want to just touch on the role of the Department of Justice in this process right now. That's very easy to talk about because they have no role. And I will say that the actions of Attorney General Barr in putting out this memo this week, overturning 40 years of DOJ policy, was not just disappointing, it was outrageous. And it's not, in my own view, totally unexpected. He's been a terrible attorney general, and this will be his legacy, that at the end, he decided to stick his nose into this where the Department of Justice has no business. Once the results in the states are certified, then if they've got something they think they can do, then go ahead. But in the meantime, this is a state issue. The states and our union have done this for a long time. They've always done it. There is zero role for the federal government, and it's really an outrageous.
Thank you so much, A.G. Woods. We'll turn it over for questions now if people have them, and just want to also note that we have Norm Eisen on the line as well to answer any questions you have about ongoing litigation. He is outside counsel to the Voter Protection Program.
At this time, if you'd like to ask a question, please press star and one on your touch-tone phone. You may remove yourself from the queue at any time by pressing the pound key. Once again, that is star and one to ask a question. We will pause a moment to allow questions to queue. We have our first question. We have our first question from Emma Brown. Emma, your line is open.
Hi. Thank you. Yeah, I take your point as to the litigation and the claims have so far failed in court. I'm wondering if AG Ford and AG Nessel could speak to ways in which they see that the certification process could be challenged in some other way through the mechanisms set up in your state laws to certify. Do you have any concerns about other ways in which the certification process could be disrupted other than these lawsuits?
Well, this is Aaron Ford from Nevada. We obviously within our office have been preparing for contingencies since the beginning of the process, and I'm prepared for any contingencies that might come up vis-a-vis the certification process at all. I think litigation has been their go-to strategy. It has been demonstrably negative for them, and so I'm not certain that they will go that route on the certification front. But if they do, we're prepared to address that issue. I'm not certain if you're asking about any non-legal issues that may affect the certification issue here. But as far as I'm concerned, from a legal perspective, we're prepared for that.
This is Dana Nessel. I would say that I feel similarly in Michigan in that, we are prepared for any scenario and any set of circumstances. Do I think that the way that this litigation is framed, that it is targeting a particular scheme? It seems that way. It does seem that way to me because these lawsuits are aimed at ensuring that that the Wayne County Board of Canvassers can't certify, and then next, the State Board of Canvassers cannot certify the election. And would that potentially lead to a scenario, or do they hope through this litigation that leads to a scenario where the election is not certified for Joe Biden, even though he won by, at this point, 146,000 votes in our state, and that, a faithless slate of electors can be sent on behalf of Trump instead of on behalf of Biden. It appears as though that is the strategy they are pursuing, although I can't say for sure what's in their mind. I will say that we will do everything that we possibly can in the state of Michigan to ensure that that does not occur and that the slate of electors accurately reflects whoever received the most votes in the state of Michigan. So we are prepared to combat that as a strategy, but am I concerned that that's the strategy they're pursuing? Yes, I am.
This is Joanna. I'll just add in here that, state legislatures haven't intervened to overturn the will of the people in this country since the 1800s. We just don't do that, and that's not going to happen. That would be cheating the American people out of their votes. And, as you hear on this call and as you've heard on our prior calls, we have such a strong coalition of leaders across the country and across our key states working together. Who will do everything in their power to make sure that voters decide the outcome of this election, not the president, not any party, not any politician grasping at power. So, we're here to protect the results, as we've said, despite any attempts to the contrary, and we feel very confident that there will be a smooth transition of power to President-elect Biden very soon.
We will take our next question from John Sadler from Las Vegas Sun. John, the line is open.
Great. Hi. This is a question for AG Ford. Mr. Ford, Utah Attorney General Sean Reyes came to Nevada over the weekend and released a statement saying there were legitimate concerns about some of the evidence of voting irregularities. Is this standard practice for an AG to come into another state? What's your reaction to that?
It is not. Hey, John, by the way. No, it is not. And frankly, it's a disrespectful slap in the face, one that shows an utter lack of comity. And I've called him. He hasn't called me back. I've texted him. He hasn't texted me back. And to those who reached out to him for assistance, it reminds me of the 1970s song, Don't Ask My Neighbor, Call Me. I have said to the former politicians in this state and to those other saboteurs to file a complaint with my office. We're playing in the press. quit going on the news with shadowy figures, filed a complaint with my office with an unredacted affidavit so that we can investigate these issues, call people, and figure out what's going on and get to the bottom of stuff. They have not done that. And so at the end of the day, my job is to protect the constitutional rights of every Nevadan, and that includes the right to vote. I've been doing that. I will continue to do that, and the integrity of this election falls right within that realm. And so Mr. Reyes should, the only cases he should be concerned about, frankly, were those COVID cases on the increase and the Supreme Court case he was arguing to remove health care from them. And I would ask that he mind his business, frankly.
Thank you.
And we will take our last question from Pham Mont from AP. Pham, your line is open.
Hi, AG Ford and everyone. Thank you for doing this. When people like President Bush or other politicians say Biden is the presumptive president-elect, but Trump has a right to take cases to court, what do you think when you hear things like that?
Could you have him repeat that question? I'm sorry, I broke up a little bit on my phone here.
Sorry, can you hear me?
I can. Repeat.
Yeah, now we can.
When people like President Bush or other politicians say Biden is the presumptive president-elect, but Trump has a right to take cases to court, what do you think when you hear things like that? Thank you.
Well, I mean, if you're going to come to court, you have to have the evidence. They've come to court four times in our state, and they have lost four times because they have only speculation and innuendo, and they can't back it up with evidence. The people have spoken. Politicians will not decide this election. The people have, and they have already, and we have Vice President-elect Kamala Harris and President-elect Joe Biden. It's time for us to be able to accept that and to move on.
This is Joanna. I would just add, as you've heard, you know, all of our speakers say today, this litigation is totally without merit. It is without evidence. It is without facts. It has been turned down by courts across the country repeatedly. And so while everyone certainly has the right to their due process rights, this is not a close election in the sense of anything. Nothing is going to be overturned in court. The people have spoken very clearly. And, you know, every day that goes by, as I said at the outset, is another day that we're not working together as a country on the very real problems that we face. It's also a waste of our taxpayer resources. And so our view is that it is time to move forward with a smooth transition to a new administration.
It appears we have no further questions at this time. I will now turn the program over to our presenters for any additional or closing remarks.
Well, thank you all so much for joining today. I think what you heard today is that these attempts by the Trump campaign to disrupt the clear and accurate results of this election are without any merit, although they are dangerous. The American people voted in record numbers, the states counted, and Donald Trump lost. We need to focus now on a peaceful transition to President-elect Biden. We will gather again for another press briefing very shortly and look forward to staying in touch. Thank you so much.